All right, so good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Right Side Trading Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Solomon Davis, and myself, Wally Olafade. Say hi, Solomon.
Hello, everyone out there. Solomon here.
All right, so Solomon, man, this market, a lot of people will be thinking that this market is not going to recover, and this is the beginning of a bear market. But recently, we just saw how the market is actually breaking out of the channel that it's been in for like at least a month now. What do you think about that breakout? Do you think it's sustainable, or do you think that this is not really going to go anywhere?
Right now, we are right at a point. It's always kind of like the way I look at charts. You have to look back to the left. Okay, what do I have back to the left that I have to get back above? You know, and if you look at the SPY, you got a gap there that I was looking to see. Could we close above that gap? If we close above that gap, maybe we're on our way back to testing the tops. You know,
right,
we
so
didn't.
The gap that you're talking about is the one right here. And
right there, yep.
This is the 270 level on the SPY.
Yeah, and as you can see, yesterday we closed just about right there. And then this morning we kind of gapped above it, but we're having a hard time getting above that area right now.
Interesting. So let me see here. We have the exact low of that day was 270.19, and yesterday's close was 270.19. Interesting.
Yeah.
So right on it. But today we actually above it, even though we have a slightly, the market is only up 0.13%. So far, it's only like 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, but it seems like this could actually be something that might actually fall to what you're saying, which is if it closes that gap, it could go higher.
Yeah, we've closed the gap. Now, if we can stay above it and close, above where we at, we're close above yesterday's close, that's all I will be looking for, and okay. Then see if we can go higher the next day. And
so looking at this as a market that is bullish or bearish or kind of
I'm looking at the bulls. Look like the bulls are trying to take back control of this market, but the bears are putting up a good fight.
I agree. You know, honestly, my level was at a lot lesser than that, which I believe the bulls have already cleared for my conscience, and that was I'm looking at this candle from March 27th, the high of March 27th, which was about 266.77 That was where I was looking at. If the market can close above that level, to me, that would be the area that I would see as the bulls taking over. And it did so pretty much yesterday.
That was Monday. Monday?
Yeah, day before yesterday, Monday. So it did that on Monday. Once it closed above that, that kind of told me, it's like, hey, you know, this market is getting ready to do something. And then yesterday was just like icing on the cake when it actually even gapped up and stayed up. So as far as I'm concerned, that is the level that I was looking for the market to clear to tell me that it is now bull's territory. And so I see this as a bull market now.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So what about some stocks? A lot of people have been talking about Facebook. What do you think about Facebook?
Let's take a look and see what's going on in the chart. Facebook, when they double bottom back there, it was a buy. You know, again, if you're straight technical.
You're talking about the double bottom from March
26th
to April 4th?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, again, the technicals say it's a buy. You know, and then your stop is just below that low, right there, that low that you just identified there, below 150.
Yeah.
You know, and you just take you have to take you're always taking risks. And the thing is you want to take the risk at the lowest where you can take the smallest amount of risk, in the right place. And that was the place to take it, and then try riding it on up here from here. So it's looking good, all the way on back up to around 185 or so.
So is it safe to say that with all the news, because a lot of people believe that news is what drives the market, and all the scandal that's going on and all the stuff they're saying about Facebook's usage of people's privacy, would you say that that's all now behind us, or would you say that, this is just a relief rally and there's more downside to come?
News does drive the market. And all, but again, you got to take a look at the charts. And is this a relief rally? I really don't know. I'm a short-term swing trader. You know, as soon as this thing tells me or starts breaking, stop gets where it's making higher highs or start making lower lows, or I see some reversal type pattern, you know, then I'll look at maybe tightening up my stop or getting out of a long position if I was in a position in Facebook. I am not in a position in Facebook at this time. But Facebook is still the way they are shaping their business, the way they're shaping their business for worldwide, you know, it's still going to be a strong company. It's going to take a lot to really knock them off their pedestal where they're at right now. So, again, I would look to, if you're in Facebook or you got in Facebook, just, you know, pay attention to, pay att definitely pay attention to the news, but also just pay attention to the money is going to show you out there on the charts what's actually happening. So that's why I always pay attention to what's going on the chart.
And it's and actually, now that you mentioned charts, I'm looking at this chart and I said, okay, you know, you can see how Facebook has been bouncing off of, you know, this support level for quite some time now. It had a support level back on October 4, 2017. It had another one back in October 24, 2017, and then December 4th of 2017. And then it came back here during that big market, you know, correction that we had into February of 2018. And now what ended up happening was, just like Tesla did, it broke through that support that has been holding onto for quite some time. And even though it's bounced, now it's very interesting because we can see right here on the 11th of April, which is like literally last week, it came to that same level that was acting as support, and it failed to break through. Now, the interesting thing, though, is like usually when it fails to break through, and we see like some type of bearish signal right here in this, in the form of a bearish engulfing, we
bearish
expect it to
engulfing.
start falling further down. So that's the, if it was actually going to start dropping, what I would have been seeing is that after that bearish engulfing signal we got on the 12th, on April 12th, we should have seen some follow through to the downside, but we didn't get that. Instead, what we did was a failure of that bearish engulfing. And that's what we have right now. And the fact that it completely failed that bearish engulfing tells me that, you know what, this downside, don't expect too much of it. The upside is more likely what's going to happen because, again, whenever a good signal fails and goes in the upper direction, that direction it goes in is where it would continue going into. And so the fact that a bearish engulfing, which tells you it's supposed to go down, failed, tells me that now this market, or at least Facebook, should be looking to go up. So my only thing is, I would like to make sure that it clears and closes above that prior support level, which is somewhere around the $168.90 range. So if we can close above $169, $170 on Facebook, I would say that this is a good chance for Facebook to start recovery. So for those who might have even missed that double bottom that Solomon talked about on April 4th, you have one more opportunity to get in if it can close above 170, and you know, maybe this will make it go all the way to its all-time highs again as 195.
But the other thing you need to be careful with also with here at Facebook, like you say, now it's at an old support level that may be a resistance level, and we might end up back in a new range, you know, somewhere between that 150 to 170. It may trade down there in that area for a while. So
and that's correct. That's correct. And that's why I said I want to see it close above 170. You know,
you want to get a close above 170.
I want to get a close above 170 for me to feel comfortable saying that it can actually go higher, because if it can close above 170, then I can say, okay, good, this stock is getting ready to do something. But you're absolutely right. That's what I said. I agree 100% with you. All right, so that's Facebook for now. What's another big topic stock that everybody keeps on talking about? The one that keeps on coming out in the news that I know is Tesla.
Tesla.
Tesla. And Elon Musk. What do you think about all this? I mean, they were talking about how Elon Musk is supposed to be coming out with so many cars. I forgot exactly how much they said it was. So many cars per week. I want to say it's 2,000 cars or 5,000 cars a week or something like that.
Yeah, once, yeah, a while back there, I had heard that Tesla, it sounded like Tesla, I thought Tesla was going to try to come out with a car that's even more affordable for everyone, a car around 35, and around the 35,000 to 40,000 mark, you know. You know, and if that happened, you know, people are really into, like, you know, saving money on the whole gas thing, and I guess it would be cheaper, might be cheaper to actually charge your car and go fully electric. It'd also be better for the environment. So if they did, if they're able to produce, get the money to produce the cars, I think the buyers would be there. You know, but from what it sounds like, Tesla has a lot of cash flow problems, you know, and getting these cars actually produced. So I think that's the thing that's scaring everybody and all, and the whole cash problem. Can they get the money to actually do what they say they want to do?
Very interesting.
Yeah, I heard that there were some rumors about them actually almost going bankrupt or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. You know, whether it's true or not, I agree with you. I think one of the biggest things, again, just looking from a technical analysis point of view, it needs to break through this resistance right here, which is $309.50. So if I can see it close about $310 or something like that, then I can say, okay, maybe Tesla's trying to come back. But for right now, it's like, you know, that area, that $309 range, is acting as a resistance right now. So you have to pay attention. Now, I have to say, this is on the daily, so, you know, it'll be more important to look at this on a monthly chart to see what is going on. And we can see right here that as far back as of June of last year, it started showing us bearish signals. September, it showed us another super bearish signal. Okay, so the only question is, this could just be a relief rally as it keeps on plunging down. So if I was looking at this big picture, you know, it doesn't look good for Tesla, I would say. It definitely does not look good for Tesla. The only thing I would say that maybe Tesla has going for it is the fact that if you zoom out on the bigger time frame, you know, this area used to be resistance back then, okay, on big picture, which is the area that I'm talking about is 286 to about 270. So that range was a big resistance area. Maybe, just maybe, what it's doing is coming back, retesting that area before it starts bouncing back up. But again, I would like to see it close above $310. And if, especially if you can do that at the end of the month. If at the end of the month it closes back above $310, that could be a very good sign that whatever people are saying about Tesla, about it being a stock that could go down, probably not necessarily true. But if it cannot, then I'll say, you know, you absolutely want to be watching. Because one thing I don't like is the fact that for a while, Tesla has been stuck in a range since 2014 to like about 2017. And it finally broke out of that range. And what I usually typically don't like is when a stock comes out of that range, it goes back inside that range. Last month, that's exactly what it did. It went back inside that range. And whenever that happens, that's usually a bad sign. 8 times out of 10, that's my own statistic, 8 times out of 10, it's usually a bad sign. And so that's what Tesla literally did on the big picture, meaning that the monthly chart. So, yeah, there's a lot of work that Tesla needs to do to prove itself that it's ready to go higher.
Yeah, like you said, with Tesla, it seemed like it was trying to create a new range, then it came down below that new range and back into the old range, and now it's at that point where it's poked its head back above into the new range, but like you say, we would like to see it actually close higher in that new range that it was trying to develop to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's that. Any other stock that comes to your mind? I mean, because I know Tesla, Facebook, maybe GE was another one that I know a lot of people have been talking about. Saying, is it time to buy GE? Is it time to buy GE? Is it ready to start heading back up? What do you think?
GE, I kind of like GE right now. It's not a long term thing because GE is in a downward trend.
Okay.
But it made multiple bottoms and then it finally got out of that. It kind of finally reversed that down. It looked like it was trying to reverse that downward trend, so it was kind of like a buy at that point. You know, so if you put a line from, let me bring it up on the chart on my side where I can actually see it. Let me bring GE up.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I see right here is definitely at a place where if it's going to bounce, this is where it needs to do so.
You know, if you draw a trend line from that March 28th downward,
okay, So March 28th.
I didn't even go that far back. You can go back that far back. You can go back to that one if you want to. But I just started March to go from that one to the March 28th. You know, once it broke that
something like that.
Once it broke that downward trend like there and started going back to the upside, it was like it was ready to go at that point for me.
Gotcha. I see the triangle you're talking about. So
yeah,
we're going March 28th to like about whatever this date was over here. April 12th.
April 12th.
So March 28th and April 12th, there's a trend line. If you connect those two dates together, the highs of those two dates, and then on April 13th, the market broke above that, or at least the stock broke above that.
Stock broke above it, and actually came back down, and then the next day it actually gave you confirmation that it wanted to go higher. So,
gotcha.
So, again, so, me, I'm short-term. You know, that's what I look. I look for these little short, little patterns like that, the in and out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm still, I've been saying this for quite some time, which is, to me, I want to see GE clear $14 level. If I can see GE clear the $14 level, then that would give me a good sign that GE is getting ready to buy. I know a lot of people would say, oh, I should have bought it when it was like $12.80. I understand that, but, you know, in all seriousness, it's only like, you know, what, if we go from this bottom to this top right here, it's a 9% move. Okay, so we talk about missing out on a 9% move just to be on the safe side. If this is really going to reverse, well, once it closes above $14, then there's a whole lot of room for this thing to go higher if it is truly going to reverse. But just looking at this right now, there's still a lot for me because, again, big picture monthly chart.
Let's take a look at the monthly.
Yeah, I see nothing on the monthly chart that suggests that this stock is getting ready to change at all anytime right now. Okay.
Right now, this month is beginning to look like maybe it can be reversing, but you know, it's been in a strong downward trend here. So
only good thing that I can say from the monthly chart is this right here could be considered a teaser bottom. Okay, which is a reversal candlestick signal, bottom in signal on the monthly chart. So that could possibly be the only good sign that I see. If we look at this on the weekly chart, I think that's the multiple bottoms that you were talking about too.
Yeah.
We have a right side candle on the weekly chart. That's a good thing from last week. So if we can get it to confirm, that might not be a bad thing. But you have to be careful with that because we've seen it in the past where GE on the weekly chart had candlestick signals that confirmed only to fail.
Only to fail, yeah.
You see that? And so for me, when I see something like that, then that would tell me that I need to see two candles. So basically this week and next week. If next week, because this would be, you know, what happened right here is basically what's taking place right now. So if next week can be another positive week, then I'll say, okay, you know what, this is good for GE because what we can see is, like, since that downtrend began, it could have a signal saying it's going to go up and then it fails. Okay? Have a signal that it's going to go up and fail. And in this case, actually, it wasn't really a signal right here. But the one that it did have was this one right here, where it showed us that it was going to go up, it confirmed it, and then failed again. So I need to see double confirmation, I guess. So
yeah, and that's what we're looking at, the first week of January, then the second week of January, then the third week of January actually dropped pretty hard.
Yeah, the second week of January was a confirmation saying that it was ready to go up based on candlestick analysis, but then it failed. And, that's very rare for you to find confirmation and then for it to fail. But it did. And so to me, I don't want just confirmation from the next week. I want to see 2 weeks worth of confirmation before I say this stock is ready to do something again. But again, if it's going to, the setup is looking like it's trying to. That's one thing I would say. But it still needs a little bit more to convince me that it's ready to go higher. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Any other stocks?
How about what's coming up on our earnings here next week or this week? Let's see what's going on out there. Let me take a quick look and see what they're saying.
Actually, I just got one person just text me about a stock IPI. Let me take a look at that real quick.
Okay.
This is a guy that has actually bought this stock since it was at $1. Now it's at $4. And he bought, I think, 200,000 shares of it.
Oh, wow.
At $1, you know, so you know he's happy, you know, this stock being at $4 right now.
This looks like one of the stocks we used to trade. I know you used to trade way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
It was a bounce. It was one of those bouncing stocks.
Yep. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
We had this as one of our very first strategies when we first started back in, what, 2013, 2014, I believe?
Yeah.
But yes, you're absolutely correct. And so it dropped big since then, and now it seems like it's working its way back up again. It went as low as about almost $1, and now it's looking like it's coming back up again. So it's doing pretty good.
It looks good. It looks good to about $5. See what happens once it hits that $5 area.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. If it can get above here where it's at right now, then $5.
Yeah, this is the weekly right here. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. So what was the earnings stock that you wanted to talk about?
Let me see which one of these. I see stuff that's today after the market. We have Alcoa is the day after the market. Is that today?
Yeah,
today after.
Yeah.
That used to be the one that everybody would say, oh, that's when the earnings season actually starts.
Yep. And so, Alcoa has been a runaway. This is exactly.
Yeah.
Remember the conversation we were having earlier this morning, Solomon, about earnings? This is exactly what I was talking about right here.
Yep.
You know, and now earnings is coming up. Everybody's wondering, is it going to do well or is it not? But, you know, it's one of those things that we can, you know, have a strategy around. But, I mean, Alcoa has just been like a monster, especially after it broke out of this channel. I mean, this is a pretty decent move on this stock.
Yeah. It seemed like it was in a channel between 44 and 50, and it finally broke above 50, and it's been taking off ever since then.
Ever since it broke out above 50, it's already moved 15-16% already. From the bottom of that channel, that stock, which is at $44, it's already moved 33%, and that's in like 13 days.
Yep.
33% in 13 days. That's just amazing. That's almost like 3% a day. And today, again, it's already moved another 2.8%. So, on average, this stock is moving about 3% a day. It's like, man, these are the type of trades I love to find. You know, just consistently, steadily, just climbing higher and higher and higher. And even if you didn't catch it when it was within that range between 44 and 50, still, you're able to come in here after it jumped out of 50. And in 8 days, you know, 16% move in 8 days. That's like on average 2% a day. Just sitting back, just watching the stock do what it needs to do. And so we'll see. I'm not sure whether Ernest is going to be better or not, but my. That was a good trade right there. I didn't trade this. I totally missed this one. It wasn't even on my radar. Not sure how I missed this one, but I'm going to make sure that I put this on my list to watch for the next time.
Yep. Add it to what do you call it? Yeah, remember you used it was something that you had started calling
your customers. Call them my customers. Make Alcoa a customer of mine next time. So we'll see. But yeah. So the only other thing is, I'll say if we were to trying to see if there's any other stock that a lot of people, because again the market is doing pretty well. Even today it had a pretty steep drop early in the morning, but now it's bounding back up, so that is all good. Again, remember on Monday, Solomon, we were actually talking about this at the meetup where I said the charts was already showing that this market, from a weekly chart point of view, was ready to go up. Remember that?
Yep.
When I was discussing that, and I said, look, you know, this is a buying opportunity. The market is basically telling us, you know, if you want to stop buying, now is the time. And it's funny because now I'm hearing people say, okay, yeah, it's, you know, should we be worried about the tensions and volatility that's going on? I believe what most people are missing is that the volatility pretty much is already over. And when I say volatility, I'm talking about, like, yes, I know that if somebody from, you know, like Russia or North Korea or China says something or something like that, it could, you know, spark another frenzy and stuff like that. But from what it looks like on the chart, even when all that was happening, the market was just choppy, going side to side to sideways. Now the market has made a clear decision as to which way it wants to go, which is to the upside. And we saw that on Monday, saying that, wow, you know, the time is now if you're going to do something.
Yeah, you so, do actually got the VIX dropping again. The VIX is down close to 16, actually dropped below 15 today. So that's getting down.
That's something I have not even looked at yet.
Yeah, and VXX, VXX is actually still up there. Both of those numbers are still pretty up there. But VXX looked like it dropped below 40 actually today also. So it's dropping. You know, probably won't be until the end of the month we really get all this volatility kind of settled down out of the market. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what would be really good is if the VXX can close below $38. That would be really, really nice. You know, because that's a major support level. So if the VIX can close below $38, I mean the VXX, I'm sorry, if the VXX can close below $38, that would be really superb. You know, it would just show us that the market is ready to go further down. So yeah, so at least for me, those are some highlights from today. We can look at, you know, some of these stocks. IBM was another one that became a big one on the news today. Starbucks, a lot of people are looking at that. I think it has earnings coming up soon. Not sure what's going to happen with that, but you know, we'll see. Goldman Sachs, you know, banks, stuff like that coming out. Twitter was one that, again, I've been talking about Twitter since, November of last year, saying that it's time to start buying Twitter. Whatever they're doing is beginning to work based on the chart. The chart is showing that it's time to stop buying Twitter. And so we were talking about Twitter when it was down at $20 back in November of 2017. Now it's at $31. They had a pullback when we saw all this news come out about Facebook and everything. So, you know, I believe that it got punished along with Facebook. But, you know, the interesting thing was that it came in and filled a gap that it created back on February 7th. So they had a huge gap that it created between February 7th and February 8th. So with all the scandal that happened with Facebook and Twitter, you know, being affected by that, you know, somewhat because, you know, just guilty by association, they began dropping. But the cool thing is they literally filled that gap on April 5th, and since then, they've been getting to start rallying back up again. So I see this as another stock that just shows that it is ready to go higher. You can even look at this on a monthly chart. You see that even with all that craziness, it didn't form a little high going up. Okay? And so, I mean, now it did in the month of April, but it's quickly recovered back. And to me, that's a very good sign on Twitter. Are you trading Twitter, Solomon?
No, I'm not in Twitter at all.
Okay.
Usually,
but Twitter's looking good. I would have to admit that Twitter's looking good, and you know we'll see how that plays out. But for now, at least, I think those are some of the highlighted stocks that everybody's talking about out there, and you know, see whether or not they will perform. Do you have anything else before we call it a day, Solomon?
That's pretty much it. The NASDAQ is looking strong. Look like it wants to, what I like trading, my NASDAQ QQQs. Long as it can continue on, get close above, close above yesterday high, I'll be looking for us to head back, like the chart that you're looking at, close, but getting back above 170 and maybe attacking that high at 175 again here in the next, by end of month, the way the NASDAQ moves at
times.
Wait
a minute. You think by the end of this month it can get up to 175?
Oh, yeah. We got enough days, a couple more weeks.
Wow.
That's
a bold statement, Solomon.
Yeah, let's just wait and see. if it can get above 170, let's see if it can attack 175.
I think it could definitely get to, you know, I shouldn't say a thing. I can see it getting to 170, no question.
Yeah.
Because, again, we even have gap.
You
need to fill between 169 and 170 something. What is it?
Yeah.
I think 171.
171. Yeah.
Yeah, 171 and 169. So that's a gap that it needs to fill between that range right there. And so I can see it definitely getting to that. Now 175. Don't get me wrong. I still believe it's going to get to 175. It's not even a question of whether it's not going to get to 175, but it's just the time frame that you gave.
The time.
Before the end of this month.
That's by the end of the Yeah.
Pretty good moves in the next 2 weeks, Solomon.
Yeah, the Nasdaq was making 100-point moves, 200 almost. That's crazy moves on the looking at the future market. You know, it was making those crazy moves. You know, that was like a $4, $5 move, one of those cow moves.
Yeah,
there.
I remember.
You know, it made some crazy moves on the way down. Can we make those same type of crazy moves on the way up? It did it when it made the V-shaped bottom, but this time it's kind of gradually making its way up. Not like it did the last few times. So, that is kind of a bold statement looking at the chart and the way it moved up fast, but this time it's not the same as it's been before. So that's one of the things I am seeing here.
Yeah.
So, but we have to wait and see.
You know what, to be honest, I actually like the slow and steady. I mean, yes, it's exciting when things move fast. But even look at this line that I drew right here. It's interesting. We must have been talking about this a while back.
Extended to the right,
Yeah, we connected the high of January 26th to the low of March 2nd. That's what we did. We connected a line from the high of January 26th to the low of March 2nd. And when you extend that line out to the right, what you find is that on April 2nd, 3rd, and the 4th, the Nasdaq futures literally came back. We tested that area, and it's been bouncing ever since then. Very interesting. It did the same thing, too. It bounced off of that back in March 2nd. So, wow, I didn't even pay attention to that before, but this is kind of interesting. So my thing would be, let me just do this. Now that I'm looking at this, my thing would be to bring a line up here.
And sorry, it's trading above there right now.
It's trading above there right now. That's that channel that it's in right now. And so it would be a very good thing if it can close above that. Because if it can close above that, then we know the stock is getting ready higher. Because so I would say pay attention to that. Because if it starts reversing, expect it to come further down. But if it can break above it, this would be very good news for the market.
Yeah, and the NASDAQ future has a gap of right around 7,000 there that it has to close.
7,000 right here?
Yeah, that gap.
Oh,
there.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Okay, the gap that it has is around 7,000.
So that's 730.
7,031 to be exact. And let's see. 6974. 6,974 is the low end of that gap. And then 7,031 is the high end of the gap. So that would be very interesting. So what I would say is based off of that, if we see resistance, that's not even actually a bad thing. Because then what that would tell me is that the market, because the Nasdaq has had a pretty solid run within the last 2.5 weeks. So it could be hitting that resistance around the 6,900, 7,000 level as a time to rest. Retest that downward resistance that we've drawn from. And just so you know, the downward resistance is basically the high of, the high of March 13th to the high of yesterday, April 17th. That's what we connected as resistance. So if the Nasdaq futures gets to hit a wall based on that gap that we have at 6,000, 7,000, you can expect it to probably come back down to that resistance level that we talked about from March 13th, to April 17th, and then maybe expect another rebound from there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So I'm looking at something like this. Maybe worst case scenario, it would do something like this. And then, and then bounce back up again.
Yep. Check your chart settings for me right quick. I want to see. Look like you may not have overnight stuff on or something.
No, I don't have the overnight on there.
Okay. That's why you're showing the gap.
Yeah, I usually don't have overnight. But I can put the overnight back on.
No, that's okay. That's why you're showing the NAP. You're not showing extended hours.
Yeah. Okay.
So just make sure everybody can understand that why this gap is actually showing up, and they may not be seeing it on their chart.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So yeah, here is the same chart without the with the overnight on there. So you don't see the gap anymore. You're absolutely correct. You don't see the gap anymore with the overnight with the overnight information on there.
But still, where that market took off to the downside is still around that 730-740 area. So that's the area that you need to watch. You know,
exactly.
when this market is heading back up.
So yeah, so I'm pretty excited that this market, again, you know, and all this right here, we're looking at this on the daily chart. When I start going to the weekly chart, it's even more evidence that this market is going to go higher. It's showing us that it's put in the bottom for now, and we should be expecting the market to even go higher. So I would just say keep that in mind as we go forward.
Yep. All
right. All right, well, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us. If you would, we'd appreciate anybody that likes what we talk about here to support us by going to our Facebook page. We have YouTube page. We have two YouTube pages. We have Right Side Trader with the ER at the end and the Right Side Trading. So, you know, subscribe on there so you can get our videos as we upload these to the platforms. Also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we hope that you guys get good information out of this. So if you like it, also share it with friends, share it with anybody that you think would benefit from what we're doing here, and hopefully this helps you. So on that note, we'll go ahead and sign off on episode number 3. See you guys next week for episode number 4.
Yep, have a great week trading. Bye.